Well, it's going to be really good tonight. Yes. So I want you guys to know you have made a divine appointment. Woo-hoo. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes when it's a divine appointment, there's only a few people because it's going to be so, so good tonight. And you know what makes it so, so good tonight? The ears that you listen with. That's what's going to make it so great tonight. You who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying through this donkey. Amen? Donkey. So I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for this evening. I just thank you, Father, for those who can hear my voice, Lord Jesus. Father, for those that are committed to you. For those that have decided to set their lives on a course with heaven, Lord Jesus. That those that have woken up in the Spirit, Father, those who have opened their eyes and opened their ears and learned how to pay attention to the things of God, Lord. Father, I ask that as we talk about this evening, Lord, that everyone that can hear my voice, that their heart would be supple and soft to receive these words, that they'd be good ground to be able to understand it, to be able to accept it, and to be able to keep it, Lord Jesus. And that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we would know, truly be settled and grounded in the hope of our calling. What is this great inheritance within us, Lord? I thank you for that, Jesus. We just honor you and recognize you here this day. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So I think I know what my topic's going to be, so I'll tell you at the end. Because if we go that way, praise God. All right. So, Vanna couldn't make it today. Yeah. But I'm here for you. Amen. What we have behind this curtain... This is a fabulous trip to eternity. Gloriously with paths of solid gold. Buildings with pearl doors. It's day, 24 hours a day. Never goes night. No shadows. Beautiful music, the kind you love to hear, playing consistently. Everyone can sing there. You all can sing beautifully there. It's a place you'd like to go. Amen? Not only is this place for all eternity, but all of your dreams will come true in this place. Whatsoever thing you think can come to pass here. So let your imaginations go wild. Let your creativity flow, for you know that the answers to all of your prayers in here are yes and amen. So, all you have to do is go through the drape, go through the veil, and everything you've ever wanted is there at the taking. What could be behind the curtain? What could be behind the curtain? So I want to let you know something, that no matter how great it is on the other side of this veil, you are the only one that can penetrate it for yourself. And Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 3, or rather Paul speaking about Jesus, said that he was the veil, and that the veil lays on everybody's heart. Read in the reading of Moses, until they turn to Christ. And once they turn to Christ, this veil is removed. Amen? So the veil has been removed to those who turn to Christ. In Ephesians, it says that his body was this veil. And this body was torn to make the two one. You know that, right? And it also says that this veil, the veil that was actually to the Holy of Holies, that you and I could not penetrate, we could not go beyond it, when Christ's flesh, which was the veil, was rent, this physical veil there was rent also simultaneously. You all know that, right? So there was a physical veil that kept us out of the physical Holy of Holies. We weren't allowed to go in there. Only a priest can go in there, and he had to spend a year purifying himself before he can go in there. So it was a very important sanctified place. But now it's open to all of us. Open to every one of us. But I want to tell you a little thing. You know, there was a thing once that God decided to put a huge, valuable, very rare treasure. He wanted to hide it. Or rather, the devil wanted to hide it. And God wanted to give this treasure to everybody. But the devil said, no, this treasure's too valuable. This treasure's way too valuable. But God says, no. I want to give it to everybody. This is like cold fusion, you know, free energy out of water. Everybody should have it, right? And so God says, Lucifer, I want you to give this to everybody. I'm making this up. It didn't really happen. I just want to let you know. It's a joke. Lucifer, I want you to give it to everybody. And he says, okay, I will. But he didn't want anybody to have it. So you know what he did? He took that treasure and he hid it in each person's heart. And he put it resident within each person inside of them. But that wasn't good enough to just hide it inside of them. He thought, oh, if we get them too quiet, if we get them too still, if they get too introspective, they might find it. So what I'm going to do is create a lot of distractions around them, a lot of opportunities for their attention to go outside of themselves. I'm going to create American Bandstand. I'm going to create the Galloping Gourmet. I'm going to create Captain Kangaroo. I'm going to create Buzz Lightyear. And I'm going to create all these activities and all these things that will cause them to search and to look and to put their attention outside of themselves so they cannot discover what God has given to every single person. And guess what? That's happening in the world. There is a battle for your attention. It's a real battle. And it's been devised and designed specifically to captivate your attention. And we have forgotten or minimize what's on the other side of the curtain. And we get busy out here doing all these things that we even forget that the curtain's even there because we have so many things filling our appetites and our desires and holding our attention that is outside of what's in my heart. Does that make sense? Okay. I want you to know that this is an epidemic in the church. It's an epidemic. And I have made it my personal passion to lay hold of this treasure myself. And as I do, I want to share it. I mean, that's what we do, right? We share what God's given to us so that each part can supply what they have to the rest of the body for the nourishing of the body so that we all can be presented as a fully mature son of God, right? So all of us have to bring our part. So let me ask you a question. What's your part? How are you nourishing the body of Christ? Don't answer that. Don't raise your hands. Everybody look down. Seriously, how are you nourishing the body of Christ? Don't answer that. That's my solemn moment. So here's what I want to talk about. If you'll go with me Go with me to Ephesians. I'm going to go roundabout to try to get to this place. So we'll go through a few trails till we get to the main clearing, all right? So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ready? I'm going to start in verse 4, and I want to focus on verse 6 for just a minute. Okay? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Stop. We read that a lot, don't we? Some of you can't see that probably. This phrase, made us sit together, caught my attention. Has it caught yours? He made us sit together. That kind of sounds like he forced us to, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like he kind of forced us to. That word, made us sit together, is one word. And I can't even begin to pronounce it. It's like syncathio or something. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It is a word, it's a three-part word, and what it says is that he made us to sit with him. It creates a picture of us crowding into the same chair he's in. He made us come up there and sit with him. I love the word made. He made us come up and sit with him. You didn't decide to go up there. You can't flap your arms fast enough to get up there. You can't wish your way up there. You can't pray your way up there. He put you there. He made you and me to sit with him. In Colossians, it says that he conveyed us into the kingdom. He convey is a real estate term. It means to move from one place to another. He relocated us to heaven. He made us to sit with him where? In heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places. By the way, I said this to Pastor Trey the other day. Where are the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and the evil hosts of wickedness? In the heavenly places where you're seated. I don't think we realize that. I think too many times we're on this side of the veil, trying to get healed on this side of the veil. Fighting off the devil and all these things that are going on this side of the veil. But Jesus removed the veil and sat us on the other side in the chair with him. Or a whole lot of little chairs right next to him. I don't know how he's got it decorated, but you're there. Okay? That means in authority and position with him. This is big, you guys. The devil hid the treasure. He put it in you, but he has taken, and captivated us. Paul said about Jesus in Ephesians also that he led captivity, what the devil captured, and he defeated the devil. And he took captivity captive. Doesn't it say that? Think about that. He grabbed all of us that the devil had, and he grabbed us and took us and seated us with him in heaven. He did it. Settle down into, let this sink in. We're actually on the other side of the veil. We actually are. But the flesh is on this side of the veil. And the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, is on this side of the veil. And reasons and the intellect goes wild with ideas and imaginations and conceptions that are not on that side of the veil. They're not in here. So, how do we get in there? We'll talk about that in a little while. So he led captivity captive. He took you and me and sat us in his throne. What does that mean to us? First of all, you know what that means? That we can have everything that Jesus has. We can do everything Jesus can do. It's legally, rightfully, legitimately ours. Go with me to Philippians, would you? Flip on over to Philippians. Feel free to WD-40 those old gears inside there. Get those wheels a-turning so your heart can lock onto this. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 8, and we're going to go down and focus on verse 12. Are you ready? Starting in verse 8. Yet indeed, I also, this is Paul talking. I should start in 7, sorry. It says, but what things were gained? He was talking about how he was as a Pharisee with zeal and passion. He was really going for it as a Pharisee. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or dung in the New King James, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. This is Paul talking. We would probably think he's probably the point man for getting into heaven, right? After Jesus, Paul comes first. Probably, if not John, one of those two is neck and neck, you'd think. And you know what his point of view was? That everything in this world to him was rubbish. Everything that he gained, every bit of accolades, of fame, of notoriety, was nothing to him. That he could lower himself to the point like Jesus did to guarantee his resurrection. He wanted the best possible resurrection. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Wow, that's good word. That is really good word. So what Paul was saying in this was that he was making it his point to get a hold of the very thing that Christ died for and got a hold of each one of us for. Christ got a hold of you, grabbed you, snatched you, and took you and sat you in his throne. He got a hold of you and set you there. Now you and I have to realize that the devil's goal is to keep you out of the other side of that drape. Whatever he's got to do in your body, whatever he's got to do in your finances, whatever he's got to do in your relationships, is to stay outside of that drape. Stay on this side of that veil. Okay? Not in the very presence of God. Go with me to Deuteronomy. I didn't write it down, so it's going to be in Deuteronomy 30. I put a ribbon there. Praise God, I put a ribbon there. Ready? You guys know that in 28 and 29, it's the law, and it's the blessings and the cursings, okay? It's really important what he said at the end, even though all of it's really important, because as Pastor Trey said to us, that if we disobey one of the Ten Commandments, if you lie one time, misrepresent the truth one time, you deserve to die as far as God's concerned. One lie and you deserve death. One covetous thought and you deserve death. One little fling with another person's spouse, you deserve death. Seeing that beautiful car that Pastor Trey drives and wishing you had one in your driveway. Death. Seriously. Okay, look what it says here. I'm going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm just going to go right into the middle of it. I'm going to start in verse 15. We're going to read down to the end of the chapter. See, I have set before you today, life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Oh, you got to possess something. All right. Oh, you mean there's something you have to go after? You got to like go get something. You got to make it yours. You need to possess it. They're called my possessions. What are my possessions? Those are my things. That's mine, right? Ask any 2-year-old child. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. They, everything's theirs, isn't it? They know. Out of the mouth of babes come perfect praise. Amen. That you to possess. So they had to go after this thing. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce today to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go into and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. I call heaven and earth as a witness against you. He's calling his creation of heaven and earth to stand as a witness against what he's saying here in this covenant that he's making with this group of people. Okay, your mama's going to die, your papa's going to die, you're going to die, and your kids are going to die, but heaven and earth are going to be here till the end. And they're going to stand as a witness to this covenant. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey the Bible. And, no, what does it say? Doesn't that mean you got to hear his voice? Doesn't that mean you have to actually be able to hear God talk to you? That means if he's making heaven and earth as a judge against us, that we have to be able to obey his voice. That means everyone can hear his voice. Or he can't make heaven and earth be a judge against you. Let me go on. That you may obey his voice and that you may what? Occasionally think about God, pray sometimes, and I know you're really busy, but maybe when you get in the car, you can pray in tongues for a few minutes, right? He's telling them that they have to actually cling to him. In America, in Macon, Georgia, it's called stalking, by the way. You got to stalk God to cling. You got to be suffocating him. You got to be always touching him and hanging on to him and getting his attention and vying all the time. Look at me, God. Look at me, God. Mom, God, can you do this? Can you do that? Look at me, God. God, hey, don't forget me. Hey, God, did you hear the one about the anxious gardener? For you out there in the world, sorry you don't attend High Point Church, you're not going to hear the punchline. You're going to have to come visit us one day. All right. That you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him. Look at this. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So let me just say this. That devil is very clever to keep our attention so tied up in so many what we consider valid areas that are on this side of the veil. For the sake of time, I'm going to try to get to my point. In the New Testament, doesn't it say that God and Jesus Christ are eternal life? Doesn't it say that in 1 John that the promise that God promised to us was eternal life? In 1 John, does it say that? That's the promise. Didn't he say the other promise was the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is our eternal life? Doesn't it promise all of that? It really, really does. That doesn't mean we actually go in here. It means that we agree that that's true, but we may not be clinging to God. We may be ascending in our minds on what the Bible says is true, but we have to actually go in here. We have to actually decide. It's been torn. This impenetrable veil has been torn. Okay, ready? See? Did you guys see that? Gave you a peek. Just a little tease. Because what's in here is so valuable, so preciously valuable, that the devil does not want you to discover it. He'll let you go to church. He'll let you pray. He'll let you give money. He will let you have great friends. He'll let you grow fat with good food. He'll let you drive a fancy car. Heck, you can even have a jet if you want one. No problem. But don't go in here. Don't put your attention in here. And many, many men and women live their lives never going in here. And they have complete free access. It's like a person that has been, or an animal that's been raised in a cage its whole life. And you can unlatch the door, and it will never test the door to see if it's open, because it's been trained that it can't open the door. And you can completely unlatch it, take the guard off of it, and they'll never leave the cage, because they've been trained. The devil has trained so many people to not pursue the face of God, to not actually cling to him, to not actually move this veil off of their mind when they turn to Christ. Now, I want to let you know something. You are not those people, not completely. From this side of heaven, you can smell that good cooking coming out of these drapes. These drapes don't stop the good cooking. Mm-mm. Ooh, that's good cooking. Nope. you can still smell some things of the kingdom of God. And if you, oh, you can still hear some stuff that happens in there occasionally. You can. We talk about having ears to hear, and the ground of our heart is how we hear. But he also talks about our eyes being able to see. So what I want to talk about in these last 15 minutes is, how do you go inside of here? How do you operate with these fully open and be able to fully go in there whenever you want to? Because you have access. It didn't say he tore down the veil. It said he rent it, made an access way for everybody. So there's an access, but he hasn't removed it. It's only removed in Christ, okay? So now I'm going to jump over to this side of the stage. Now I'm going to tell you all the great things you've got. These are really great things that you have that are on the other side of this room, on the other side of this veil. And because of these great things, you can go right through that curtain anytime you want. Ready? F-A-I-T-H, 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 yeah! Faith will get you right on through that drape. F-A-I-T-H, faith will open that door every time. Faith and patience. What she just said. And I don't mean on a gurney in the hospital. I mean the one that means stay under until you are over in Jesus' name. Right? So, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. Right here. Are you with me? Faith. Faith. Calling things that you can't possibly perceive as true this very moment. But they are true, even though you can't prove it right at this moment. But there's something in you that's convinced that it is real. You just haven't possessed it just yet. It's available, but you have to actually possess it. That means you got to make the effort to go through the curtain. So where's that curtain at? I got a physical curtain right here. There was a physical curtain in Jerusalem, the one the Bible is talking about. But where's the curtain of you? Where's your curtain? Where's your veil at? The one that you've got to pass through. Where's it at? I'll say this. Where's the throne of grace that you come to in your time of need? Where's that throne at? I want to let you know. It's in there. The throne that you come to in your time of need is right there. See it? That's where the throne you go to in your time of need is at. Where's eternal life at? You're actually seated in there, you guys. Are you? Yep, you're in there. You're all in there. Everyone is in there. So now you got to decide, am I in there or am I out here? The me that's me. The me that nobody can see. The me that nobody can talk to. Only me and God can talk to that me. I have this inner dialogue of the real me that's going on inside here. And that inner voice, that inner talking that goes on inside of me is the real me. And that guy is always trying to sort out what is and isn't. What is and isn't. And that guy that's in me has to be trained to stop talking to himself like he's the only one in the room. Point number one on how to get through the veil. Stop talking to yourself like you're the only one in your heart. It's going to be really good, Liz. Sorry you're going to miss it. All right. So, number one, the person you're talking to in your heart, that inner dialogue, Jesus is in your heart. Talk to him instead of yourself. Number one, if he's in your heart, he might not be. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Are you with me? Starting in verse 7. Starting in verse 6. Starting in verse 5. Starting in Genesis 1:1. Starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Just so you know, and I want to let you know, we're all guilty of this. The one that whines to God is in the flesh. The one that thinks that life isn't fair, or that you got a raw end of the deal, or somebody else has something and you don't have it, or you prayed and it didn't happen, that's the carnal mind. Just want to let you know that. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, just like I told you. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Stop. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you have to hear God's voice, he designed everyone to have to hear his voice, the number one for living through the veil, stop talking to yourself in your heart. Your chatter that's on the inside, start talking to the Lord. Start making him a part of that conversation no matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. Make him a part of that conversation, okay? Number one. So just to read the verse to finish it. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. So, step number one, start talking to him in your heart. Step number two, this drape is physical. It's a prop. But the one that's in your heart is not physical. It's invisible. Okay? It's where your attention goes. And the actual veil is on your mind. On your heart and on your mind is where that actual veil is at. Okay? And many people, though they confess to be Christians, still live on the wrong side of the veil that's in their heart and mind. Okay? So what we have to do is step through that veil by faith. Everybody stand up. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to picture an invisible veil in front of you. Okay? With your imagination, picture an actual veil in your imagination. And what you're going to do with me is we are going to, in our mind's eye, we're going to take this curtain and we're going to open it up and we're going to step through and let it close behind us. When we're in this side of the curtain, we are in the presence of God by faith. In actual reality, you'll only be 1 foot forward on the carpet in your natural body. But your spirit man, through your spirit, actually walks that one step forward. And then you take a step out and come back into the natural. When you take your step in, we're going to do this together. When you take your step in by faith into the presence of God, acknowledge the presence of God and the fellowship of God and interact with him. And when you're finished, don't turn around and walk. Just step back out again. And in respect for God. This is all by faith, you guys. So where does that happen at? In your eyes of your heart. It's where this happens at, in the eyes of your heart. Your physical flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you have to do it with that invisible person that you talk to on the inside. Okay? That's the person that's going in by faith. I'm going to tell you what happens, and I'll give you some examples. You'll start building something inside of you that starts making it real. Once it becomes actually real to your heart, you will make huge strides of progress. At first, like anything new, it's very clumsy. Okay? So, step back, put your calves against the pew. What we're going to do is by faith, we're just going to just take our hands and just open the curtain by faith and take one step forward and close the curtain behind us. And we're going to acknowledge God. Father, we just acknowledge you here by faith that we are in your presence, clinging to you, that nothing else exists but you at this moment, Lord. And we love and adore you in this moment. Thank you, Father. And then take a step backwards through the curtain and step back into this natural world and bring what you got there into here. Do it by faith. I did this way. I raised my hands. When the Lord called me to heaven, he said, "You want to see me? Stand up." And I stood up and he said, "Raise your hands." And I raised my hands. And as soon as I raised my hands, whoosh, I was there. By the way, everyone in heaven raises their hands. I just want to let you know. Everyone in heaven raises their hand. It's a non-negotiable point. I just want to let you know. When he says, raise your hands, they just do it. They just go right on up. Your brain doesn't even engage. It just goes up. Amen. So you may as well get used to it now. Listen, as it is in heaven, it should be on earth, right? So what we're going to do is by faith, we're going to honor the Lord. By faith, we're going to let our invisible person create a tangible reality that our natural person eventually can participate in. At first, we're a little dull. The Bible says that we have let our eyes grow dull and our ears grow dull and our hearts are dull of understanding because the devil stole our attention and put it on the natural. Okay? So what we have to do is deliberately take our attention and move it into the invisible realm, the unseen realm of the natural. Okay? And then your spiritual eyes will start getting stronger and you'll be able to see more. I'll give you an example in a minute. Let's do it again. So, Father, by faith, we're going to step into the kingdom of God. So, Father, we just open the drape by faith and we take a step forward into your kingdom, Father, and let the drape go behind us. And we raise our hands, Lord, and we honor you, Father. Oh, we feel your presence, Lord. We feel your glory, that your light shines continually upon our face, Lord. That, Father, by faith, Lord, we extend ourselves out bigger and bigger and bigger in your kingdom. More and more and more of you. We just draw in your light and your glory and your goodness, nourishing our spirits, Lord. Nourishing our souls, Lord. Nourishing our bodies, Lord. That your presence heals us, Lord. The very presence of your spirit in this kingdom, Lord, is the air that I breathe. Oh, I breathe in your presence, Lord. I breathe in your life. Thank you, Father, for your kingdom and your glory, Lord. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord in here. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We just enjoy you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just let your eyes of your heart open up and see and look around in heaven. And take all the guards off of yourself and just see what you see that's all around. And give your eyes permission to see into the invisible realm. Give your ears permission to hear. Give your heart permission, just be free and to let down all guards in this place. And just enjoy the liberty of being in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I breathe in your glory. Every cell healing in it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Lower your hands. Thank you, Lord. We're going to step out now. Just step backwards through the curtain and bring everything from there into here, into this natural world as you do your day. Step two, by faith, enter into the presence of God. By faith, enter through the veil. Okay, step one is to talk to the Lord in that inner man, that inner dialogue, that one that logic and reasons happens inside. Step two is by faith, step through the veil into the presence of God. Why do I make you actually step? Because I saw somebody else do it once, that's why. Why do I tell you to raise your hands? Because the Lord told me to raise my hands. This is what happens. When your physical body engages in an activity, it calls it real. Not your brain, your body calls it real. Believe it or not, your body has a couple of different minds. And I don't want to go into a big deal, but you have automatic pilot is one mind. And that's the one that when you get up in the morning, you can sit down. That when you get up in the morning, when you brush your teeth, you probably brush your teeth with the same hand every day. When you get into the shower, you probably get the bar of soap and start at the same spot and work your way down or around the same way routinely. You probably have a little bit of a routine with very few changes in it on the way you get ready for the day and start about your day. During your day, you probably have very routine things that you have to do on a regular basis, and you start building a habitual way of thinking, a pattern for doing that. So much so that that actually stops inspiration from coming in because you don't break the routine. So that's the first mind, your automatic mind. Then you have the second mind, your inspiration mind. I'm making these up as I go. Your inspiration mind is the mind that can get inspired from time to time and have a creative new idea that is really, really great and cool and will probably work, but your routine mind doesn't really make space for the inspired mind to take some root and start growing and change your life. So we have to deliberately stop and let inspiration, which is the creativity of the Holy Spirit, have entrance in our lives. That happens by taking a moment, stepping through the veil into the presence of God, where the rest of the natural world falls away. And it has nothing to do with this intimacy. That's called clinging to the Lord. Clinging to the Lord. Okay? Step three. Step three is for your physical flesh. Step three is for your body. Step one is for the devil. Step two is for the spirit of this world, to come against the spirit of this world. And step three is to come against your physical flesh. Okay? So those are the three enemies that we all have. The devil, the spirit of this age, or the spirit of this world, and your flesh. Those are the three opponents that you have, we all have every day. And this is making your flesh do what it doesn't want to do. It's really good for your flesh. How many of you had a chore that you had to do growing up, whether you wanted to or not, right? But Mama said, cleanliness is next to godliness. Amen? So we learn to do our chores whether we liked it or not, at least in most houses. Okay? It's not everybody's house. So what happens is, if you train a child in the way that it should go, it will not depart from it. I don't want to do a teaching on that. There's a lot of different varied appointments, opinions. However, what we know is that if we're trained to do something, we probably will be our go-to thing when things get crazy for us, right? You'll return to a comfortable place, a comfortable routine, a comfortable food, a comfortable way of being when the rest of your life gets out of control. You will find a zero-point ground, okay? It should be in the throne room of God. It should be talking to the Holy Spirit. But until we do it on a regular basis and make it our normal way of doing it, it'll be clumsy at first. And we have to, oh, I remember. I'm not supposed to be talking to myself right now. Well, then, who are you talking to? I'm supposed to be talking to you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you. You are in there with me. And start making time for him. Number three, against your flesh. This book, it's a great book. I want to teach you a secret that the devil has kept from you. Ready? It's called Reading Out Loud. Reading out loud is a wonderful key to get into the kingdom of God that the devil has worked on people's conscience, worked on people's attitudes and frame of mind to tell them that they can't read out loud, and especially not in public. Okay? And he has convinced people everywhere that they can't be the person that sets the environment and the tone for everyone else in the room. He's stolen that from you. He's stolen that you are what activates the atmosphere that brings the presence of God that everybody so desperately hungers and thirsts for. The reality of the presence of God, you have it within you. Amen? So God created through his voice. His voice is how God creates. He vibrated and hovered over the waters. He hovered. He hovered, vibrating over, over the waters. Vocal cords. Air of spirit passes through the vocal cords, causing them to vibrate. That vibration goes through the atmosphere. There's no sound here. There is no sound. The only sound there is the vibration that I'm sending out of here is vibrating until it gets to something that can register what that vibration is. And so your eardrums have a little flap of skin over them and three little bones, and they touch a nerve, and as that vibration hits that little piece of skin, it touches those bones, and then they go, and your brain says, that's sound. And it creates a sound that you and I have agreed together makes sense. So we have learned, I vibrate this, you vibrate yours, and we agree on what that is, called language, right? God did the exact same thing. So this vibration that goes out, anything that can receive that vibration can respond to it, right? A radio, television, your phone, your eardrums. The only way you know it's in the air is because you have to have something that can receive that vibration to decipher it for you, right? So your voice is a creative power. Number three is using your voice out loud. That you talk as one with authority. Isn't that exciting? The devil says, oh, you can't do that. But you don't understand. I'm mild-mannered. I don't do that. And the devil goes, yeah, that's great. Keep thinking that way. All right. I don't have to worry about that one because they won't speak. And words are seeds that create, and they will only speak doubt. They'll only speak weakness and insecurities. They'll only speak lack. They won't speak with power and authority to create anything from in there that'll manifest out here. You and I have to resist that. If you can take your time to stop what you're saying in here only to yourself and start speaking to the Lord so that you speak to him only in here. You train yourself to talk to God. And then you train your eyes to open to the kingdom of God. And then you cause your voice to create what's in heaven on earth because you say so. For no other reason but because you say so. I'm not talking about controlling and manipulating people. It doesn't work. I'm talking about speaking into the atmosphere and let the world that God created create what you say. He made it so. But there's a lot of, the devil's gotten a lot of squirrely thoughts in people's minds that cause them, for their own considerations, to be brought into the equation, so they don't even try. Because they rationalize themselves right out of it. But you and I can go to our safe space. Safe space, that's a snowflake term, praise God. I'm a snowflake. You go to your safe space, whether it's in your car, whether it's in a room in your house, whether it's out in the woods, whether it's in a busy, busy street, wherever your safe space is, that you can start practicing going through the veil into the kingdom of God. So we take the word of God and we use it as a jump-off point, and we speak it out loud, creating an atmosphere around us of the kingdom of God, and then we step in by faith and interact with heaven. Are you with me? Let me give you a couple of examples and I'll let you go because I'm going a little bit long. So I started practicing this, real stuff, okay? Started doing this myself. At first, I was going, it's all imagination. You're just making it up. This isn't even doing anything. And I would say, Robert, you need to have patience. Stop being so hard on yourself. You're not used to doing this. Give yourself some grace and keep going. Okay. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking. Faith and patience. You're trained to be dull. You're trained to not be able to see into the kingdom. You're trained to not be able to participate in heavenly things. The world has trained you. So you have to be easy and just keep going and keep going and keep going. I started practicing this about a year ago. All of a sudden, I'm at a place called Epworth, which is
by the sea.
All right? And I'm laying in a bed. And I'm going, I'm trying to do this. This is what I'm actually doing. I close my eyes, and all I see is skin. And I see some light. And I say, Lord, I want to see into the kingdom of God. And I'm pressing, pressing, pressing. And for some reason, when I close my eyes, this is all that's there. This is all I can see is this. And I haven't learned how to do this yet. And I want to do this because it's just a veil over my mind. That's all it is. I was taught that it's there. You don't really see out of your eyeballs. I just want to let you know that. You don't really see out of your eyeballs. You're just trained to use your eyeballs to see. It's really your eyeballs are taking light that's reflected off of these things here that's going through the atmosphere. It hits that retina. That retina goes to a nerve. That nerve touches a gland in your brain, and you call it sight. It's even upside down in your brain, by the way. And you have figured out how to do it. The first time I started wearing these, I had a headache all the time. Why? Because it was weird. It was like, especially downstairs, it's like, whoa. Guess what? My brain has made the difference up. I'm not like them. Why? Because my brain has made the difference up. I'm going to tell you a secret. There's so much stuff around you, you can't even see. Because you don't know to look for it. But this whole world is fake. It's an illusion that we call real that is actually part of a natural world in with a spiritual world. I've given you this example before, and you can see through it. You just got to teach yourself to see through it. You need to teach yourself to be able to see in your spirit at the same time you're seeing through your natural body. The eyes of your spirit can see, or Jesus wouldn't say that. So, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Lord, let me see, Lord, let me see. Lo and behold, the coolest thing happened to me. This veil, when I close my eyes, you know how you see darkness or you see your skin there and you see what you always see? All of a sudden, this thing went like this. And this hole opened up about this big. That's all it was. As I had my eyes closed, only about this big. And it just opened up just like this. Like a diet, what do they call those things that, in a camera? Aperture. Like an aperture. Just, and it opened up. Guys, I could see right through it. Crystal clear. Vivid. The first time, it was a boat, and it was going on this water, and the water was blue with these white, the white turbulence behind this boat, and it was a white boat, had a chrome railing on it, had a guy at the steering wheel and a couple of seats in it, and the guy was just hauling on the water, just having a great time. I mean, I could see it clear as a bell. I mean, crystal clear, and then close back up. Go back to seeing what I always see with my eyes closed. I go, Lord, that is so cool. He goes, press in. You have to press in. So then I go, okay. So then I'm going along and I go through that night. Nothing. I'm trying to see. I couldn't see anything. The next day, just before I got out of the bed, you know how you wake up and you're kind of in that conscious but not conscious state? I was in that, knowing I'm coming awake. And as I'm coming awake, I did this thing. I popped my eyes open and closed them again. And I thought, Lord, I want to do that thing again. I want to see. And all of a sudden, it just opened back up again. This time, the snow, it was as white could be. And this person is coming down the snow in this powder, having a great time coming down the side of this slope. And I look at it and I go, wow. And just as I'm going, wow, it closes right back up again. I go, whoa, come on. Lord, this is real. This is real. I want to participate in this more. So I've been practicing. I told Pastor Trey this one. A few months ago, I'm in my office, and I'm sitting on my little sofa, and I first got up, and I started doing what I tell you guys to do. I start talking to the Lord. I start swinging my arms around, praising God, shouting in my office. And this time, I actually opened my drapes, hoping a car will go by. Teaching my soul to not be afraid if somebody hears me, right? I have to teach myself to not be afraid, to not be embarrassed. And so then I'm praising God in front of the window and thanking him and everything, and I feel the presence of God start coming. I start praying in tongues, and I sit down on the sofa. And I'm sitting down, and I'm walking through, and I'm in my mind of my imagination, I'm seeing Jesus. And I'm walking with Jesus, and he's talking to me. And I said, Lord, what's that you've got? And he goes, I want to show you something. And he unrolls the scroll, this piece of paper. And I can see it. And I'm looking at this piece of paper. And on this piece of paper is a triangle, just a perfect triangle. And it's sitting on the paper. And then he goes, this is what I wanted to show you. And on this triangle, it goes like, it was this way. This other triangle that was this way came down right over that triangle and made the star. The two triangles came together to make a star. And they came right together and made a star. And he goes, this is the start, right here. And whew, it was gone. So I go, what do the triangles mean? What do the triangles mean? Listen, to actually be taught by God, to actually take this book as our foundation and hold it as real, that there's a real spiritual kingdom, there's a real spiritual person, you're really in heaven, it's real. But we have to come to the Lord. When I was in heaven, one time, you guys have heard that testimony, and I was standing before the Lord in heaven, and this was not me practicing going in. This was him grabbing a hold of me and bringing me up. This was him doing it to me. I was not in charge of this one. He just grabbed me and pulled me up there. And when he did, he was standing, sitting on his throne over there, and I'm saying, Lord, Lord, you're so glorious. You have to come back with me to prove to everybody that you're real. You got to come back with me. And this is what he said, which blew me out of the water. I couldn't believe it. He said, I have come to man. Now man must come to me. And it's my fear that people aren't. That I want to say we're doing the best we know. I want to say that we are truly doing the best we know. But there's way more. There really honestly is. But you've got to make it real. You got to be the one that proves it's real. You got to get over yourself, your brain, your problems, the things that have happened to you while you're messed up, why things aren't going your way, why favor doesn't seem to be on your life, but it's on other people's lives, why I always, whatever your story is, stop your story. Pause, just pause. And talk to the Lord. Get into the presence of God. Teach yourself that this is real, and you'll start learning it. So I'm going to say this on the last thing. Am I going too long? Never mind, don't answer. This is the last thing. This is important. To learn new things, it's difficult. And you have to learn this. You really do. For the church to do what it's called to do, you have to learn this. And so when you learn something new, I'm just going to tell you, you don't really perceive much of it at first. You don't see it because your brain can't make sense of it yet. It doesn't fit in with your framework that you have built in your understanding of what you call real and valuable. It just isn't there. So you can't even see most of it because your brain dismisses it. I'll tell on myself on two stories. That Avion system that's up there, I don't know how to work it, but I'm learning how to work it. There's a lot of stuff it says on that stuff that I don't see, even though I'm staring right at it. It doesn't connect in my brain to give me the information. Am I looking at it? Yes. Do I see it with my eyeballs? Yes. What does it mean? I have no idea, but I'm looking right at it. If I walk away, can I tell you what it looked like? No, not really. But I stared right at it because I got nothing in there that tells me what it is. Okay? Somebody else with a second pair of eyes walked up and goes, oh, it's this. Click, click. Solved. Okay? I couldn't see it, and I was staring right at it because there's nothing in my brain that understands that. Okay? You have to have neural nets. They've got to connect, and you have to call it real. And when you do, you've got something to build on. And then you can set another piece of information in there. If I give you something that's so far outside of the box, your brain just dismisses it. It doesn't even have a place to stick. The birds of the air will come and just take it away. Done. So we have to, by faith, step in, let it be true and real, even though we're uncomfortable and it seems like it's not working, and keep it up and keep it up until a little something happens, a little piece of light. The Bible says that God gives us the light. I'll show you the scriptures if you need to. I got three of them. Where the light that you get comes from God. He gives it to you. And so we have to press in as little children that are starting to grow up into the kingdom of God. And as we start to do that, the reality of it will get stronger and stronger and realer inside of us. To where, when you lay your hands on somebody, you will know some things. When you look at somebody, you will know some things. That when you walk in a room, you will convict people because you're a witness of a life that lives in the presence of God. And because His presence actually gets in your skin from the inside out, that even your clothes will hold the anointing because it comes through you. And you start smelling like the presence of God. You start thinking because you're always talking to the Lord inside your heart. Jesus never stopped. He was always, not my will, not my words, your words. Constantly groomed himself to where he can start being in ministry, to where it was only the Father that he represented, because he took authority over himself and learned how to do these things. Amen? Is that a lot? Get the CD, get the MP3, get the DVD. It's a lot. It is. But listen, there are more steps than just three. I just kind of made three up as I went. But you need to just really think about this. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Your whole self has to be in the kingdom of God. Your whole being has to be focused on the Father. Every bit of you. Or on Jesus, if that's where your slant is. Or the Holy Spirit, if that's where your slant is. Just pick one. Everybody favors somebody. And just pick the one you're closest to and get to know them. They'll introduce you to the rest. All right? All right. Good word, Pastor Robert. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Oh, glory to God. You went long, but I don't mind at all. You can talk anytime you want. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pray for you, right? Father, I just thank you for this evening. I thank you for the hearts and the minds that were here today, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just want to bring glory to you. We just want to walk through these things in the reality of who we are with you, Lord, that our spiritual man would take preeminence in our lives, that, Father, we're well-grounded in the Word. We've got your Bible, Lord, and we are grounded in the Word. But, Father, we also want to take the next step forward to be taught by you, that we follow your voice, that we cling to you, because you are our life itself. And Father, I just ask that everyone in here would be aware of the tactics of the devil to steal our attention, to divide our focus, so that we would be distracted or burdened or put out to focus and to press into you, Father. Father, I speak to all that can hear, and I speak five times more to myself the very same thing, Lord, that none of us are faultless in this, that we all, Father, need to press in more to walk in the reality of oneness with you, Father. So, Father, by your grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit, bathed in the love of yourself, Lord, I just ask that you would help each one of us, that our minds would be awakened, that we would arise and shine, that we would stand up from among the dead, from the teachings of this flesh and this world, that we would not be still, that we would not be entertained, that we would lay it all aside and count it as dung, that we would step in and lay hold of what you laid hold of for us, so that we can possess the land of the kingdom of God now while we're on this earth. Yes, Lord, you will redeem our body. But now, Lord, let us glorify you in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. Let our lives be filled with good works in Jesus' name. We love you, Father. Amen.